You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott U. Nash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
For a Thursday edition of the program, we thank you for tuning in as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott U. Nash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Andrew on the other side of the glass here today, looking very winter-like with your Z stocking cap, but you're offsetting that with a short sleeve t-shirt. So
yeah.
I don't know what to make of that.
It's too cold in here to be not having some type of hat or long sleeve, but it's also very quickly do I get warm. And so if I don't have like some evening out of like, I got a hat on and then short sleeves and I'm fine. But if I had long sleeves and a hat, I'd be roasting.
Roasting. Okay. So clearly
yes.
A good strategy
yeah.
by you.
Some would say.
Mark Dukes joining us on a comfy, cozy southwest side on the back porch. How you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, everyone. And yeah, a short time ago, I bundled up to come into the studio to record the latest edition of Before the Boom and quickly got back into my shorts. And I'm ready to go.
So you are not outside anymore, obviously, or, you know, you're just, you know, lost your mind.
Not a chance.
We got a great show. We got a lot of things to get to. Gene Wang is going to join us coming up. He covers the Maryland Terrapins for the Washington Post, and we will preview Iowa and Maryland. That'll be coming up at 11 o'clock. That will be on Saturday morning for you. And then Kevin Lehman, the coach, our Off the Glass segment will come up in the back half of the program. We'll talk college hoops, including a big game earlier today, already in the books. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Text line available for you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. And last night, women's basketball taking center stage, Mark. Iowa getting a victory over the Kansas Jayhawks up in Sioux Falls at the Sanford Pentagon. And while that was going on, the interstate battles continue. And boy, did we have a surprise at the McLeod Center last night. UNI women's basketball with a top 10 victory for the ages over Bill Fenley's Iowa State Cyclones.
Yeah, I was able to catch both games last night as you were at Bowling Night in America, texting you the results there. But a terrific win for Tanya Warren's group at UNI. And Maya McDermott, just a terrific game at 37. And Kayva Lobby from Marion with 21. And, you know, you know this, Scott, but Maya McDermott was at Johnston when Caitlin Clark was at West Des Moines Dowling.
Yes.
And Dowling gave Johnston one of its only two losses that year. They split. And Clark had 42 in that game. So, and McDermott wasn't even the leading scorer on that Johnston team. Terrific Johnston team. But there's a connection there, an interesting one, I thought. But you and I talked about this earlier. I think when you see results like this, it has everything to do with there being 10 Iowans on the roster for UNI. And these girls, I have to assume, were passed over by the quote-unquote majors, Iowa, Iowa State, and others, and they had something to prove. And whether that was a big motivating factor, I'm sure for UNI, the fact that Grace Bofelli was out for the season, whether it motivated a UNI or whatever, but it wasn't even close in the second half.
Yeah, UNI played. Maya McDermott was terrific, no doubt. Maya McDermott is a 5'6 guard. If Maya McDermott was 5'9", 5'10", she would be playing power four basketball right now. Just a little bit undersized. And that is why she ended up, one of the reasons why she ended up at Cedar Falls playing for the UNI Panthers. She has Division I talent. I mean, let me back up. UNI is Division I. I understand before Panther fans start to inundate the text line out there. She's got Power 4 Division I skills, but is only 5'6". And that's the reason, partly, she ended up in Cedar Falls. Great player. And showed that last night. Cabe Lauby, as you mentioned, the former Marion Wolf, or Wolf, 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 Wolf. Anyway, was terrific from the outside. They're going to have to shoot it outside without Grace Buffelli. And you take a look at others. Riley Goble from Center Point Urbana, just a tremendous defender. Does everything. She brings her lunch pail to work. Emerson Green, the former Cedar Falls Tiger, also great job by her. It was just a tremendous, tremendous team effort for UNI last night. Now, the question is, and 6936 bringing this up on the text line, having women's basketball play at Drake and UNI is good for Iowa basketball, and it's a shame Iowa and Iowa State men don't. Yeah, we've been over that a million times. It is not going to change unless something changes in the net quad era of determining the combatants in the NCAA tournament. You can't tell me playing Rider is better than playing UNI or Drake being better than playing that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now my question is, Mark, does last night's win by UNI, does that change things? Because everything was, you know, the men were rolling along, Iowa and Iowa State beating. I mean, Iowa had, what, a gajillion winning streak against Drake in men's basketball till the end. And basically the same against UNI until a game in the Uni Dome where Iowa fell to UNI. Then things changed. Iowa State fell last night. Drake has beaten Iowa and Iowa State. UNI has come close to beating Iowa and Iowa State. Bill Finley said after the game last night, quote, well, I shouldn't quote him, but just paraphrasing what Bill Finley had to say last night, he said, "We are stupid for scheduling this game." Now, I ask you, and I ask our listeners at 319-366-1600, does this kind of change things a little bit now that Iowa State, one of the two power fours, have lost to Drake or UNI?
Why would Bill Finley make a statement like that? I mean, of course it's going to damage Iowa State's resume, but go out and win that game. I'm with the texter. I'm with you, Scott. Somebody give me a reason why Iowa won't play UNI or Drake. Why won't Iowa wrestle UNI? Besides the fact that the two head coaches are at odds with each other, apparently, Schwab and Brands. Why? You can play Ryder, but you can't play UNI? Give me a reason. Come on.
I'll give you a reason, because if Iowa or Iowa State men lose, it's going to absolutely crush them as far as the quad system and the net rankings are concerned.
Well, if they lose to Ryder, it's going to do the same thing.
That is true. But you're probably, as we kind of led off with, there's a lot more motivation for players from UNI and Drake to play well against Iowa and Iowa State than there is against somebody from the East Coast and Ryder playing against Iowa, or somebody from IU Indianapolis playing against Iowa State.
Yeah, but so what? Like 6936 says, if you can't win at UNI or Drake, that you're not going to win in the Big Ten and Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, what is going to Purdue easier than playing at UNI? I don't think so.
No. 319-366-1600, 5251 out of the 415 area code says it's money. Well, I don't know if it's money. I really, in this case, and this is about the only case in college athletics where it might not be money. There is a reason. Iowa and Iowa State will give reasons that, well, with the expanded conferences and with more conference games, we can't schedule this one. There's some truth to that. I will give Iowa and Iowa State that. There is some truth to that statement. You got to play more conference games. Yes, they are going to be tougher. You're going to get a better net ranking playing those. I mean, Iowa State's net right now is sixth in the country, and Iowa State has played three teams that basically, you know, aside from Missouri, Kansas City beating up on the Christian school, you know, haven't won a whole lot of games or any games so far, yet Iowa State is number six in the net. And that's going to get messed up a little bit by playing UNI and Drake.
Well, you're talking astrophysics to me, Scott. I don't understand that. I don't understand that net, and I don't even try to. The point is playing interstate competition, and look at Iowa's men's basketball schedule. Texas A&M Commerce, Southern, South Dakota, Washington State on a neutral court. That's good. Ryder. Utah State this coming Friday, tomorrow, that's going to be good. USC upstate?
Not so much.
Not so much.
319-366-1600. The only people in Iowa care about it. Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that's just kind of... There's a lot of reasons. There are a lot of reasons out there. But are the women going to keep playing? No, Cyclone Tim, we don't think the Iowa State women will not win the Big 12 this year because they couldn't beat you and I. Yes.
No, we're talking about the fact that, you know, if teams don't, the interstate teams don't play. That was the point by a previous texter. And I think absolutely Iowa State's going to win in the Big 12.
Playing teams with a 300 net ranking does not help you come March or the conference play. Well, that's inaccurate to a certain degree because Iowa State's net is at six.
I.e. Mississippi Valley State, Iowa State.
319-366-1600. We might get to that again before we get to 4 o'clock here. Gene Wang is going to join us from the Washington Post as he covers the Maryland Terrapins. As Iowa will take on Maryland. That'll be coming up on Saturday over in College Park, Maryland. And that is an early start. That's an 11 o'clock Central Time kickoff, 12 o'clock Eastern Time. And who's going to be the quarterback for the Iowa Hawkeyes? That is the big question. And interestingly enough, rumors are floating about off the podcast that our good friends Scott Docterman and Chad Leistico, they are on the Legends and Leaders podcast, and they are speculating that we are never going to see Cade McNamara again play for the Iowa football team. So that's gotten everybody's tongues wagging a little bit today, Mark, as they speculated a little bit about the future, or lack thereof, anyway, as far as Cade McNamara is concerned.
Well, I don't have any this on any great authority, but there may be a reason that Leistico and Docterman made those comments, and there may be a reason, other than him not in uniform, that McNamara was not captain at UCLA, and he's not captain at Maryland this week.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
True. Cyclone Tim, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let's come up with a compromise. There's no way Texas Commerce gets super motivated like you and I would. Let Iowa and Iowa State play you and I and Drake, but at Hilton and at Carver. So I'm with that. I'm with that. And I think you and I and Drake would be okay with that. I mean, I can't speak for them, Mark, but I think they would be okay with it.
They might be, but you and I are long of tooth a little bit, and we remember when Iowa played at the Unidome against UNI years ago, and what a great atmosphere that was. And I miss those types of game. And, you know, Matt in Fairfax, we're getting so many texts here, unbelievable. 47-14, Matt in Fairfax, they don't want to be embarrassed by a little brother in the state. How about that?
Yeah. Greg and Epworth saying they play these low-end teams to give the team time to gel before more competitive games. Yeah, I mean, there's so many reasons why we don't get Iowa, UNI, Iowa Drake, Iowa State, UNI, Iowa State Drake, et cetera, et cetera. Gene Wang going to join us right now. We are going to talk Iowa-Maryland football. That'll be coming up on Saturday from College Park. Gene, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. How's everything in greater D.C.?
I think we're preparing for the first snow of the season on Friday. But I think when the game, by the time kickoff comes on Saturday, it'll be bright, sunny skies and high 50s. So good football weather.
Not too well. We had a little dusting of snow last night, so maybe that's a Big Ten thing. I don't know.
Right.
Well, what about this Maryland team this year? I'm not going to say super high hopes, but I think higher hopes coming in than 4-6 on the year going into this Iowa game. Kind of go over how this Maryland team has played throughout this 2024 campaign.
Yeah, certainly. A major, major disappointment if you talk to Coach Michael Locksley or any of his players. I mean, they've gone to bowl games the last 3 years. They came into the season with a new quarterback for sure, but they had a lot of high-level skill players, they thought, and their defense was returning a bunch of impact players. So they thought at least by this point they would have had bowl eligibility secured and maybe looking for – 8 wins, that kind of deal, 9 wins. But now they're in a position where they have to win 2 in a row against teams that are, at least on paper, superior, and in order just to get to a bowl game. So certainly they've had a lot of missteps this season, a lot of missed opportunities. But, yeah, I would say major disappointment is not an understatement.
Gina, talk to us about the –
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gene, talk to us about Ty Felton, the wide receiver. Terrific talent. Does he remind you of any other Maryland receiver, any other receiver in the Big Ten that you've seen in the past? Tell us about him.
So, yeah, he's been the bright spot this season. I wrote about him today. He's the single-season leader in receptions. He has the yardage, single-season yardage record within reach, and this is at a school that's had guys like Stephon Diggs and Torrey Smith and Raheem Jarrett and Dante Demas, guys who played in the NFL or are playing in the NFL. DJ Moore, another one of those guys. So to be at a level like that in a season where they're not playing with the all-time leader in passing in the Big Ten, Talia Tagovailoa, who graduated, is a pretty remarkable accomplishment. He's been so consistent. Just really, really soft hands, and it's been a tribute to all the hard work he's put in kind of behind the scenes, the hours spent, you know, catching tennis balls I wrote about, you know, late at night at the football facility after everyone had left, just to get to this level. And, you know, he had interest from teams at the end of last year. He kind of had a spurt at the end of his junior year that kind of caught the eyes of some other coaches, maybe bigger programs, let's say. But he elected to stay with Maryland because of the loyalty that Coach Michael Locksley had in him when he was in high school, when he tore his ACL, and a lot of other schools kind of backed off their recruitment, but Maryland was still passionate about adding him to their roster. So in this instance where he had a chance to go somewhere else in college, he kind of returned the favor, so to speak, and it's been, you know, beneficial to both sides. He's certainly the number one guy that defensive coordinators would kind of want to take away, if possible. But, yeah, he's an NFL-caliber player, scouts are, NFL scouts are watching him in every game I've covered. So it's just a great story, and he's just a great person, too.
Well, there's been nothing wrong, Gene, as you know, with the offense for Maryland. That has been stellar. It's been the defense that has had trouble stopping people. no idea who I was going to start at quarterback for Maryland. So maybe that's a little bit of a stumbling block right there. But the Maryland defense has kind of left a little to be desired.
For certain they have. And it's funny you mention that, because at the beginning of the season, Michael Locksley was saying how excited he was about the defense and how he thought this was going to be a defensive-led team, particularly with a new quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., taking over as the full-time starter. In reality, you know, 10 games into the season, it's the offense that's kind of been clicking. Billy Edwards has been top three quarterback in the Big Ten throughout most of the season. And the defense is, through for a lot of reasons other than poor play, has not lived up to their end of the bargain. They've had injuries, and, you know, Loxley's not going to use that as an excuse, but the fact is they've been missing. Their secondary has been depleted throughout most of the season. Dante Trader, their captain, has been in and out of the lineup. Glenn Miller, who leads the team in interceptions, has been in and out of the lineup. And then their backups have also been injured. And then you talk about the safeties was the strong point of that back end going into the season. The quarterbacks are freshmen, sophomores, guys who don't have very much experience. And other offenses have just, they know that, and they go after them, and they've given up a lot of explosives, a lot of big plays. If they can get one-on-one matchups with some of the wide receivers who are elite in the Big Ten, there's just not much they can do. So it's been the case where Maryland's had to score a lot of points, but by double digits in the second half, couple touchdowns, they have to become one-dimensional to kind of get back in it, and they have to abandon the running game. So they haven't been able to play complementary football because that defense has not been to the level that that coaching staff thought it would be at the beginning of the season.
Gene, we've kind of debated here in Iowa what it means for Brian Ferentz to be on Locksley's staff as an offensive analyst, and of course his familiarity with not only Iowa's head coach, but the program in general. Is it, we make too much of it, or do you think it's a thing?
I think there's maybe somewhere in the middle. I think just because you have someone on the staff that's familiar with the team that this someone's playing this weekend, that, you know, maybe there's one thing they can look at, one component that maybe another staff wouldn't have because of that, but they're just, Maryland goes into every game thinking how they're going to execute more so than the other team. And certainly you're going to watch film of the other team, but it's more about, you know, can they get these guys blocked? Can the offensive line hold up, which is another issue for them. They have five new starters this year coming into the season. They're gelling. Some of them are freshmen. So that's been a part of it. It's been a part of why the running game hasn't always been there. It's been part of the reason why Edwards has been under duress in a lot of games, especially when they become one-dimensional and teams know they have to pass. Yeah, I think overall it's probably, you could probably make too much of a big deal out of it. It's more about what Maryland can do. And when they execute, we've seen they can put up points. I mean, they can score, and they have certainly have great receivers, great skill position players, and Bill Edwards has proven to be, you know, the quarterback that they thought he was going to be going into the season. There was a lot of skepticism after Tagovailoa obviously set the record for, he owns every record in Maryland. So to be the guy after the guy, there's going to be a lot of scrutiny, but he certainly lived up to it, at least for the first half of the season. He's kind of taken a step back over the last six games or so. But I'm certain they're glad to have him on the staff, but that's not going to be the reason why Maryland is going to win the game if they do.
Gene, Mike Locksley's had a very good run going to bowls over the last handful of years. Down year this year, is there any talk of a hot seat over there in College Park?
Well, there's certainly a lot of commenters on stories that we write about it's time to get rid of Locksley, it's time to move on. And two things I'll say about that. First of all, he's taken them to three bowl games, but won three bowl games in a row for the first time in program history. So He has that on his resume. He's shown that he can win with the right players. The second reason is, and this may be in this day and age of where money rules everything, his buyout would be more than the last three or four coaches in football and basketball combined. So to me, when you put those factors together, that the buyout would be in the neighborhood of $17 million, there is no way that they're going to make a coaching change because they've bought out too many football coaches. You know, they had to pay Mark Turgeon when he left. there's too much money already, dead money already given out over the last couple of decades, especially for a guy who's, except for this year, has had a winning record at Maryland.
Gene, what's the mentality of this team right now? It can still finish 500 and go to a bowl game. In handicapping games, you often go beyond the X's and O's, the last home game, senior day, all that stuff. I read your piece. It seems like the players are saying all the right things. We're still engaged, whatnot. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they realize that they had other opportunities that they missed. Now they're playing, you know, higher-level opponents. For example, they lost to Michigan State at home at the beginning of the year. Then they lost Northwestern by 20. If they get one of those two games, maybe things are different now. You know, their three losses in a row and their four and the five have been by 14 points or more. I mean, they've not been really close. So, I mean, and players are human. They know the scores of all those games, and they know that in the end of some of those games, they weren't even in it. So you can say all you want about it, but the fact is that they're going to be probably undermanned against Iowa, and they're definitely going to be undermanned in their final game against Penn State. And that's Penn State senior day on the road. I mean, that's a tall order to ask for a team that's never beaten a ranked opponent in the Big Ten since Loxley's taken over. So, I mean, these are very, very long odds we're talking about. I mean, the coaching staff can say whatever it wants. They can say, you know, optimism over pessimism. We still have a chance, which is all true. Mathematically, they have a chance. But it would be just a remarkably dramatic turnaround if they can get these two wins, given how they played the past 5 weeks, and especially the last 3 weeks, three losses in a row. It feels like it's almost an untenable situation.
Yeah. Before we let you go here, Gene, what kind of game do you expect? For me, anyway, I think the higher scoring is going to favor Maryland. Lower scoring is going to favor Iowa. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Other teams want to keep Maryland's offense off the field. That's their strength, obviously. So, you know, and obviously we know Iowa can run the ball. They can pound it. And Maryland's had some issues stopping the run before. So if ball control and time of possession favors Iowa, I think the Hawkeyes will be in really good shape.
All right. Hey, Gene, always good to talk with someone from the Washington Post.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you. Gene Wang from the Washington Post covers the Maryland Terrapins. Mark, I feel smarter just for talking to somebody from the Washington Post.
Okay.
You lived in Washington, though.
I did. And that was a different Washington Post back then.
Yeah. Good.
Nothing against Gene. Nothing against
Gene's the sports. Good dude. Good dude. Does a great job covering Maryland. All right, before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here, it's a time for another chance at your in bonus with the year-end bonus contest from 1600 ESPN. We know that a little extra cash this time of the year goes a long way, and that's why we're giving one local winner $500 to help pay bills, pay for Christmas presents for the family, however you see fit. And you do that with our winning word, and today's winning word is cookies. Cookies. Enter that word right now at KGYMradio.com for a chance to win $500. And when you do that, you're also put into a national drawing for a $15,000 grand prize. Again, enter the word cookies at KGYMradio.com for a chance at the year-end bonus contest from 1600 ESPN. Now we get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. It is right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock. Huge range of burgers, fries. All their stuff is made fresh daily, plus salads, pizza, pasta, soup, and sandwiches online at emilshideaway.com.
State high school football championships are being decided today and tomorrow at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. Two finals in the books in the 8-man championship game. Remsen St. Mary's beat Gladbrook Rhinebeck 51-12. And then the Class A game just completed. Tri-Center edged Dyke New Hartford 14-10.
West Hancock,
I'm sorry. Later on, with the 1A and 4A championship games tomorrow, 2A, 3A, and 5A. At the RSM Classic, the final event on the PGA Tour this season. Zach Johnson opened with a 2-under par round of 70. That's his home area there in Georgia. Maverick McNealy leads at 8-under. And a couple pieces, as it were, Colorado football news. Though it's not surprising, Colorado junior Travis Hunter said on a podcast today he's definitely entering the NFL draft. The first time he's made that comment publicly. And secondly, five-star quarterback Juju Lewis has committed to Colorado. He had been committed to USC for about a year.
Maybe the number one quarterback in the country, flipping from USC to Colorado. Buffs aren't going anywhere, folks. And Deion's bringing in a lot of good assistance to help him out. All right, we're going to talk to Kevin Lehman, the coach, coming up here in just a moment. I want to remind you that you can win a pair of tickets to see Dwight Yoakam and the Cosmic Roundup and Rodeo Tour with the Mavericks and 49 Winchester. Listen all this week to the Todd Brommelkamp Show mornings from 6 to 9:30 to take Todd's tickets. Be the correct caller and correctly identify the famous Dwight that Todd is talking about to win. We'll take a break, come back. We'll talk some college hoops with the coach, Kevin Lehman, our Off the Glass segment when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we are going to have a cloudy, cold, and blustery day. Temperatures are going to climb into the mid to upper 30s, but it will feel like the 20s as the winds gust around 40 to 50 miles per hour. We'll then have the clouds sticking around through the day and into tonight, and the winds will gradually back off. Temperatures drop down to a low around 30. Tomorrow, we'll start with the clouds. We'll get some clearing in the afternoon. Temperatures will climb into the low 40s with much less wind. That's your latest Iowa News Now weather first forecast.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition, the comforting feel of your big, cozy sweater, with a rich fragrance of secret recipe treats trailing from the oven. These are the things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin and Stocker as a family business true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising, they still offer a layaway program. Just put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. That's tradition, too. During fall, as you enjoy crisp apples, warm candles, and begin your holiday shopping, stop and see what's shining in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
In Iowa, farming isn't just a profession, it's a purpose. You can feel it in our 29.9 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 72,000 Iowans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers' markets. You can count it in the $159.5 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose too. To help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose. Paid for by Bayer.
Everybody's buzzing about Quickstar's possibly pilfered potatoes. We have them priced so low, some say they're illegal. Swipe potato fries? Potatoes ill-gotten? Stash browns? Come on, these are not hot potatoes. But it is a quick hot savings. You might say it's a steal. No, don't say that. 99 cents for a 5-pound bag. 5 pounds of potatoes under a dollar? What a heist. A perfect score for those large meal gatherings. Quickstar, we got your taters covered.
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. Lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of nine, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter at edge-realtygroup.com.
Back with you, 338 here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. And it is time for our Off the Glass segment. And it is brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. And we usually say at this point that Chris passes the ball to Big Brother Kevin. But I don't know about this, by the way, Kevin, because Chris let us know he was fourth in D3 three-point percentage his sophomore season at Simpson College. So maybe he doesn't want to pass it to you, man.
he also played with Caitlin Clark's father, who I think was a better three-point shooter than Shooter was.
Brent Clark was number one on the team and number one in Division III in three-point shooting that year. You are correct.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. Chris fails to point out that he was not the best shooter on his team.
I will let you two hammer that out.
Well, I'm sitting down there on a sunny beach, so I got the best of him today no matter what happens.
Yeah, you're in the U.S. Virgin Islands, correct?
I am, yes.
Man, it snowed here yesterday.
I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't want to ask. I had heard rumors that we had some bad weather.
Oh, hey, starting things off, we kind of teased at the top of the show. We were going to talk about it with you. Great win earlier today by the Drake Bulldogs in the Charleston Classic. Drake beats the Miami Hurricanes in the first round. That's a heck of a win for the new coaching regime at Drake.
It really is. And, you know, Ben McCollum has been – he's done it at Division II, much like Josh Schertz did before he came to Indiana State, and now to bring that system into Drake. And I talked about this with you guys before, Mark and Scott. He brought four guys with him. Three were graduate transfers from Missouri, Northwest Missouri State. And, you know, Sturts, one of them had 21 in this game. Obrea, the other grad, had 18 and 10, a double-double. And they got this win with only making four triples, which usually you think if you have an upset like that, you're going to get 10, 11, 12. You know, as Fran McCaffrey says, when you get in that 13, 14 range, that's problem area if you're the one giving that up. But kudos to the Bulldogs. Six turnovers, big win for them.
Kevin, the old debate about in-state schools playing one another on the men's side was renewed just a little bit ago when we were talking about you and I defeating Iowa State in women's basketball last night, a terrific win. Why doesn't Iowa play you and I, for example?
Well, because the women still will play home at home. You know, Iowa State going to the McLeod Center. Iowa State and Iowa men's basketball are not going to play those teams at the Knapp Center in Des Moines or at the McLeod Center in Cedar Falls. They may offer to play them at home, but you're not going to see like the old days where there was home and homes involved here. And, you know, the big thing is now is on the men's side, we've got 20 league games. The Big 12 went to 20 this year. We don't need that type of scheduling. You're going to play in the tournaments like we saw. We see Iowa State going to Maui. Iowa's done a nice job of getting some neutral court games, like their game up coming up with Utah State here. So it's just a thing of the past, much like the new things in conference realignments, NIL, transfer portal, home and homes in state Iowa is not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a money thing anymore. Like you said, the biggest reason is for the expanded conference schedules. You don't need it. But everyone on the text line saying, man, they would rather see Iowa host you and I than host SC Upstate or Rider or UI Indianapolis. Nothing against those teams, but, you know, you're not going to get 3,000 at Carver-Hawkeye Arena if you and I or Drake are coming in. But you get, it takes two to tango as well, right?
Well, you know what else, that same point, Scott? Remember how popular those games were in the Big Four Classic at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines? I mean, those were usually fairly packed houses to see those teams play. So we know the fan interest is there. You know, you saw it in Moline when the Hawks went over there, that full house there of 7,000. But if you're Fran McCaffrey, if you're T.J. Otzelberger, you don't want to do that because, you know, the chance of getting beat even in your home court is much higher with those teams because a lot of those guys feel like they were passed over or they've got something to prove. So it's just not it's just a trap game for those teams, and they just don't see the there's really no pros for Iowa or Iowa State to bring Drake or the Panthers into their house.
Kevin, Iowa men off to a 5-0 start. It faces another undefeated team tomorrow night in Kansas City and Utah State. This is a Utah State team that, well, it's going on the road for the first time, but putting up a lot of points, a lot of threes. What do you expect out of this game, Iowa and Utah State?
Well, this may be one of those games where the first to 100 wins. Because if you look at this Utah State team, they're putting up 104. And Utah State's become like the Miami of Ohio was for football. This is a basketball. They just keep churning out head coaches. Because now it's Gerard Calhoun, who came from Youngstown State. Danny Sprinkle was there. Now he's at Washington. Before that, Ryan Odom was at Utah State. Of course, you know, he was the guy who had at UM Baltimore County that beat number one seed Virginia. So they've had a great history of coaches at Utah State. If you look at this team, I mean, this is going to be an interesting challenge for the Hawks because this is a team that does a lot of the same things. High assist team, low turnovers. They got some bigs that can shoot the three. And to a point that Scott brought up, this is a really good rebounding team. So the Hawks, I think we kind of questioned how well can they rebound it. This will be a challenge for them against Utah State to stay with them on the glass.
You're right. This is not going to be a great rebounding team. But with that being said, I think this may be Fran McCaffrey's best defensive team. Sadrew Traore at the top of that 1-2-2 has been dynamite. Granted, not against great competition so far. But you can see what defensive skills he has. Cooper Koch, pretty good defender. This is, I think, Fran's best defensive team that he could have.
Well, I'm with you on that one, Scott, because we heard a lot of rumors in the summer that they're working more defense. I talked to Matt Gatens about it. And what Matt told me is, you know, the addition of Sadrew Traore, ability to guard the ball one-on-one. Drew Thelwell, we saw him too. He can really guard the ball. That has stopped ball penetration. And once you get ball penetration, they get you to rotations. That's a problem. Iowa has struggled with that for a number of years. And I think, like you mentioned, with that zone, they got a little more length, lateral quickness in that zone. So I'm with you on this. I think this will maybe be one of the better defense, if not the best defensive team we've seen from Fran McCaffrey in his, was it now, 14 years at Iowa.
How interested are you in the Maui Classic when Iowa State opens Monday against Auburn, and then who knows who they play after that?
Oh, look at those matchups. I'm drooling over this thing because you've got in their brackets, you know, North Carolina or Dayton, and Dayton a quality team. And then the other side of that bracket is loaded, too, with UConn, Michigan State, Colorado, and Memphis. So, this will be interesting against Auburn, guys, because this is an Auburn team that went and won, not at Houston, but beat Houston in the city of Houston, and they did it. But, Houston, in the blueprint with Iowa State defensively, are very similar. And you look at Auburn able to knock in threes against this Houston defense. If they can do that against Iowa State, Iowa State's going to have some problems in this game.
That thing is going to be a war Monday night. I mean, I cannot wait for that game. I mean, it is going to be a heavyweight battle down there in Maui.
Well, and Andy Kennedy is down here with UAB, former Ole Miss coach now at UAB, and he went into television for 2 years after he left Ole Miss. And we were talking about Auburn and the different styles he saw. And so this is a contrast of coaching styles because – with T.J. Osterberg, it's like military concept. Everything is structured, boom, boom, boom. And Andy Kennedy was telling me about, he walked into an Auburn practice, and nobody has the same jersey on. There's a guy laying on the bleachers. He said, it's just the loosest machine you've ever seen versus the military concept of Iowa State. So you've got two different philosophies going at it, and they have to go to Maui to do it. So I think it's going to be a really, really interesting matchup.
Who are you going to see where you're at, Kevin?
Well, we've got, you know, Kansas State is probably the biggest name team down here, but you've got McNeese State. Will Wade, I think one of your favorite coaches, Mark, is here. They're practicing right now, and he's got some dudes, man. the guy told me, he said, they look like they should all be having a wife and kid. They're all older guys. I mean, they're fifth-year guys. They've transferred around. they won 30 games last year, the East State team. They struggled a bit to get started this year, and then that UAB team's the same way. They're an older team. They won the American bid last year by winning the tournament, got the NCAA tournament. I lost to San Diego State, I think, by 3 or 4, so those are two really quality teams. And Illinois State representing the Missouri Valley here. Longwood was an NCAA team last year, so we've got a really strong field.
Yeah, you mentioned McNeese, and there a lot of people had them preseason top 25. They are not going to sneak up on anybody this year.
Struggle a little bit out of the gate, though. They've got 2 losses already, Scott. They haven't shot it real well, but I tell you what, it's like I used to call it ping pong up the glass. They throw up and they go get it. They got some dudes that just can clean the glass, so that's going to be a problem. Illinois State's got them, I think, in the second game tomorrow. So that'll be a good matchup there. So, and then also the women come in on Thanksgiving, and the Northern Iowa Panthers women, who just had that big win over Iowa State, will be here in that field. It's the 25th anniversary, and Northern Iowa women and the Missouri State women were in the original field, so they brought those 2 teams back. Now start a week from Thursday on Thanksgiving Day.
Nice. That'll be a good one right there. And so far, college basketball, what a start. You see Marquette and Purdue the other night. Marquette ending Purdue's 39-game non-conference streak. Jones had a triple-double for them. We got Kansas and Duke coming up. It's you got to pay attention to early season college basketball.
There's been some really great games, and I think we're seeing some more scheduling on neutral courts, which those guys are willing to do. It's kind of like, hey, those guys are trying to get number 1, number 2 seeds. So those upper echelon teams have really stacked their schedule, and some made-for-TV events, obviously. In Alabama put a hurt on Illinois the other night, but I see Purdue had beaten Alabama earlier in the year, so it's interesting. And we're in November, and we've already, as you mentioned, had some great matchups. And then Feast Week starts probably this week, was what we call Feast Week on those ESPN platforms with Maui and some of these other great tournaments. So a lot of football going on, but also some great basketball games and some great matchups.
Can't really say we know how good the Big 12 is. I mean, we look at it from head to toe. It is a terrific conference. Big East has had some good wins. I think the Big 10 has fared better in those big matchups early in the season, better than what we thought they would anyway. So who knows who's going to be second fiddle, I think, to the Big 12 as far as the best conference.
Yeah, a lot of talk about, as the SEC, are they going to challenge the Big 12? And if you look at the depth, I think most people are saying, hey, down at the middle of the Big 12 is maybe better than the middle of the SEC, but maybe the bottom of the SEC may be better than the Big 12, but that'll play itself out. But I think those 2 leagues are considered the best in the country this year, although it's early. The Big 10, I think there's some teams in the Big 10 will make some noise before this thing's over. Purdue, as you said, is off to a pretty good start. They only had that one loss, and it'll be an interesting year. We got a lot of basketball left, guys. I mean, this is mid-November. We're just getting this thing started.
Very true. Very true. Hey, try to have a good time down there, okay?
Well, I learned to keep coming earlier. So Madonna, my girlfriend, and I came in on Saturday, which is the day ahead of usual, and we're in the gym all day today, all day tomorrow with games. So the fun is over, guys. I had to put the land sharks away and get down to business.
You might find time for 1 or 2 after the day's basketball. I got a feeling, Kevin.
I tell you what I start getting on now is 5-hour energy, because when you get that third game, the second half of that third game is when, you look at your play-by-play guy and said, I don't remember what I just said to you. So you got to start sucking a little 5-hour energy to get you through the day. That's what we switch to.
All right. Have fun. We'll try to catch up next week on a shortened week. How's that?
Sounds good, guys. Look forward to it, and enjoy the games.
All right, we will. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Lehman, the coach, and his segment each week, our Off the Glass segment, brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. We'll come back and get you a Bowling Night in America wrap-up after this.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Orchestra Iowa, Surgery Center Cedar Rapids, and 1600 ESPN.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-777-1225. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-777-1225. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225 or biglou.com.
Siepke Hoyt Jewelers Black Friday sale is coming.
Hey, we're Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
Bling on the holidays and come to Siepke Hoyt Jewelers for great savings all weekend.
And free gifts like diamond stud earrings,
a G-Shock watch,
a diamond tennis bracelet, and more, depending on how much you spend.
This weekend, you can give and receive at CP Hoyt Jewelers.
Love local and come for Black Friday savings at CP Hoyt Jewelers,
corner of Collins Road and First Ave,
where Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it was a Wednesday night. It was Bowling Night in America. And this wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America, where, unfortunately, the Rusty Nails had one of those nights.
An off night is putting it mildly. A 25-5 loss for your Rusty Nails in the Evergreen League. Somehow we stayed in seventh place in the 14-team league. But I think it's just about time to look forward to the second half of the season.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I know none of us had any good games or any good series last night. Who did?
there wasn't a lot of great scores, only five 700 series. Brian Moore had the best at 742. Sean Willie, high game at 279.
There you go. And the best thing about bowling, Mark, and Bowling Night in America is that we will have another one next week.
That'd be week 13. Yep.
Week 13, and the night ahead of the pre-Thanksgiving Bowling Night in America is always one for the books. So we'll see what happens coming up next week. Give the phone number over May City.
362-0136. You can visit the website too, maycitybowlcr.com.
Couple of quick texts before we hand it off to Spencer on sports here. I had one about Marco Linez. Is he available? Who knows if he is available or not? Coming up for the game against Maryland on Saturday. And 3702 asking, do you think Fran McCaffrey will coach any differently now that his sons are no longer in the program? He seems more relaxed. I think he's seemed more relaxed the last couple of years. So far, things have gone well. And it's a different vibe, certainly, without a son on the team. All right, Mark, we'll do her again tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here in Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Bobby and Moana, together again.
Can I get a chee-hoo?
This Thanksgiving, if you can watch one movie...